Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time. It's time to pull out the crazy sheet. It's time to download it, get it in your car, get it in your earphones, take you a little walk, and get ready to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, and Scotty obviously is never at home. He's on the road, but brother, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Got to have us a little dinner last night, a little Mexican food, a little tequila, little couple of cold beers. It was good. Good to catch up. We almost recorded live today, but my schedule was kind of a mess. So we'll get it back to the way we always do it.
That's absolutely correct. Scotty, tonight we're going to do something we haven't done in a long time. We're going to do two podcasts at the same time. We're going to cover the big conferences. We're going to go to the Big Ten and we're going to go to the Big 12. We're going to try to knock this out in under an hour, give you some information, hopefully just get you through your commute. Scotty, I want to start with the Big Ten. When you're looking at the Big Ten, obviously it's top-loaded. You've got some Michigan. You've got some Ohio State. You've got some Penn State. This is the last year, I believe, that the Big Ten is playing in two different divisions. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thanks to the SEC. They both go one. You know, just top two will play in the championship. So that should be a lot of fun. We'll obviously get a rematch probably a couple of times with Michigan and Ohio State, or Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State, however that deal works out. But and then some years, you know, obviously we'll have another team jump up there and be could be USC, UCLA, or somebody like that. I'm fascinated by the Big Ten this year. I mean, you've got a complete disaster at Northwestern. They're going to be terrible. Their best player is gone. I think he announced today the linebacker is going to Florida State. He's gone. I can't imagine there's not going to be more of them. Why in the world would you go deal with that when you can just go play football there? A lot of big news today in college football. The Northwestern announced they weren't going to the Big Ten Media Day. And don't blame them for that. I mean, what are they supposed to say? You know, man, that's just got disaster written all over it. But big news, Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin introducing legislation for NIL. One caveat in that bill today is you will no longer be able to transfer unless you've been at a school for 3 years, except for specific reasons, coach leaving, death in the family, et cetera. Highly recommend that part of the bill. It'll make coaches really recruit kids that they really want. There's too much. You hit the road as well as the player hitting the road. There's both sides of that street, as we've talked about on previous podcasts. So big day in college football. Big Ten's going to be wild this year. I think Wisconsin is the team I'm the most fascinated to see. That offense looked fickle. That team's still good. They're going to play, I think, pretty good defense. And what I'm expecting out of that offense is for them to be different, to kind of light it up a little bit. But I think they're also going to lay a couple of just eggs because they throw the football so much. It's going to be interesting to see how well they can run the football, wanting to throw the football that much. It's going to be fascinating to see how it goes. I mean, remember, Longo had some guys that put up some big rushing yards at North Carolina too. So, like I said, they're the team that I'm the most excited to watch. You know, obviously Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State are obviously, you know, just big time. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Big Ten, as always, is a great league. Going to be really fun to watch.
Now, I totally agree with you with the Big Ten. I think it's going to be one of the more interesting conferences this season. I think Michigan's probably the cream of the crop. Ohio State's receiving core is sick. And I actually think their defense could be really good. I'm super interested to see what it's going to be like with Jim Knowles having a whole season underneath them. They've got a pretty solid defensive line. They've changed up a couple of things, and I look forward to seeing how that's going to affect them. Wisconsin's obviously interesting. People don't realize, though, Phil Longo, when he was coaching at Sam Houston State as the offensive coordinator, they were the leading rushing team in the country that year. And so he knows what he has there. He's got some road grader linemen that he hasn't coached in several years. He's probably got a better offensive line even than when he coached at Ole Miss that one or two years there. And so I look for him to – Braylon Edwards will still have a big season. And so I'm interested in the Big Ten. That being said, Scotty, my favorite team in the Big Ten this year, let's go Iowa Hawkeyes, baby. Anytime you've got a head coach whose son's the offensive coordinator who has a referendum that he has to score 25 points a game to keep his job and get a two-year extension is really interesting to me, especially the fact that he's got a transfer quarterback from Cade McNamara coming in there. And so I'm looking forward to watching some Iowa. This may be an Iowa podcast this season because Phil Parker, to me, is the best defensive coordinator in the country, and he does so much with Iowa, and we're going to dig more into that later. But, man, the Big Ten to me is super interesting. Scotty, first bet you want to make in the Big Ten when you're looking at these numbers, Michigan, who do you think is going to win the Big Ten? Do you think there's any value in trying to bet these teams here?
I really don't. I think Penn State, may get the best, part of the schedule. I really like Penn State is at Ohio State, Illinois, Northwestern, and Maryland. Man, they ought to be able to navigate that. I mean, look, obviously, at Ohio State, probably an L. I don't think any of those teams at the high end are worth it, because I think any of those teams can get it done. You're talking 10.5 for Michigan. There's big numbers up there. I find it hard to believe, as good as this roster is for Michigan, that they're not going to win 11 games. I can't imagine they're going to lose 2 games, but you know what? You just don't know. This is a really good league. Look, there some books this is down, but if you still get 3.5 on Northwestern, there's no way you don't go under. I think that they may go 0-12. I mean, that team's a mess. And like, they play Duke in the non-conference. That's a gigantic game for Duke. What was shaping up to be a really good ball game. So I think when you're looking at over-under win totals in this league, I think you want to look more down the board. I think Penn State's intriguing at 9.5, because candidly, quarterback play, it was like you were waiting on him last year to make big mistake. And a lot of their losses, it happened. The team's there, they got a chance to win. It's like Clifford was always – I just never felt like that guy had great control, and when the ball game was on the line, that he was going to close it down. And he did a lot. That's my interpretation. That is not what he did. He was a good quarterback. But I just feel like they can get more out of that position, especially with those two great young backs. So I think they've got a little bit of value. I find it hard to believe that with that schedule, they're going to lose more than 2. So on the top end, I would take Penn State.
Interesting. Looking at Michigan, you talk about their 10.5 over-under win total shaded towards the over. It's -135 to the over. Under is +105. When you look at this Michigan schedule, I think it's very manageable. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers, at Nebraska, at Mini, Indiana, Michigan State, by Purdue, Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State. So, in reality, if you're looking at Michigan, betting the over here, and you're shading it to -135, you're having to lay some cheese down. But until they get to the last 3 weeks of the season where they're at Penn State and they get to get Ohio State at home, if you're looking at that one, I don't necessarily think it's bad value, because I don't think they're going to slip up and lose an earlier game this year. Harbaugh, it's so funny to me that this guy has done what he's done, because I always thought he was a good coach. And a lot of people 3 years ago were ready to roll him out. And COVID hits, you kind of have to sit around and figure out what's going on, and he gets this thing on the rails. He's got some dogs up there, man. Offense is performing well. They've got some new coaching in there, which I think could be interesting. I would not be scared to lay a 10.5. I haven't done it yet on Michigan, but I think they could get there. Now, on the flip side, let's go to the other school in the state, in Michigan State. I have no fucking idea what Mel Tucker is doing at Michigan State. This team, if you can find an over-under at Michigan State at 6, I would say take it, and you're going to have to pay some juice, because a lot of places now, -5.5 is up to 180, 200 on this team. This team loses their quarterback. They lose their best wide receiver. They lost their tight end to the NFL draft. Their best defensive players are gone. The defense on this team has not been in the top 100 the last 2 years. Kenneth Walker came in. and made them different a couple of years ago. But the backs that they have coming in this year, they're not even on the field for other teams. And so if you're looking at this from a value standpoint, I think Michigan State is a fade team almost all season long.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. A couple other things. You talked about your Iowa Hawkeyes. I think that I definitely think they're going over 7.5. I just like the way their schedule shapes up. They got Utah State, Iowa State, Western Michigan, Michigan State at home, Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers. Those are all games that I think they win. That's my gut. I like them over 7.5. I'm going to give you one down at the bottom as well. I think Nebraska's also going to go over 6.
Ooh,
I think Rule's doing a good job. I can't figure out how they were that bad. He's a good football coach, especially in college. It may not be smooth sailing, but I think there's some weakness in the middle of this league. So I think they've got a chance to get it done. Love their non-conference schedule. Colorado, Northern Illinois, Louisiana Tech. That you make some hay right there. That gets you halfway home. So then they've got Iowa, Maryland, Northwestern, Purdue. Those are games they can certainly win at Illinois. Those are games that they've at least got a chance in. So I think they've got a chance to go over. And I also like you're going to love this.
Oh, boy.
I like me a little Rutgers. I think Rutgers is going to get bowl eligible. And I think a lot of that feel for me is, and look, I know there's a lot of guys that probably still think he should probably still be the Tennessee coach, but I just think they're at this point in that rebuild where he is, I think this is probably a year that Greg Schiano steps forward. So I'm looking for those guys to they won 5 games. Went back to 4 games last year. I think this year they get I think they got a chance to really get bowl eligible. But look, to get over this number at 4.5, you only need 5 wins. So I think they get bowl eligible. But I think they go over that number. I think they at least get 5. So
next one I've got, and this one's I've actually got money on. I bet Indiana at 4, under 4, and I bet them at -120. And I actually came back and bet Indiana again under 3.5 at +140. If you look at Indiana since Kalen DeBoer has left, this program has not been good. They had a really good peak in 2019 where they only lost 4 games, where they lost to Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, and Ohio State. COVID hit. They lost to Ole Miss in the bowl. They lost to Ohio State. And then DeBoer leaves. He takes a job at Fresno, during that season. Then he goes on to Washington, obviously. The following year, they won 2 games. They beat Western Kentucky and Idaho in 2021. And then last year, they beat a bad Michigan State team, Western Kentucky, Idaho, and Illinois. I do think Illinois is going to be down. But when you're looking at this schedule and you're trying to find 4 wins in it, they've got Ohio State, Indiana State, Louisville, Akron, at Maryland, at Michigan, Rutgers, Penn State, Whiskey, Illinois, Michigan State, and Purdue. I think Indiana State, Akron, Illinois, and Michigan are coin flips, and Rutgers, I think under 3.5, if you can get +140, which is you can see that in some of the books, I don't necessarily think that's a bad bet. I think Tom Allen gets fired at the end of October, if not middle of October by this point. Once Kalen DeBoer left, he's kind of lost everything in this deal. And so I like Indiana under 3.5, under 4. If you can find a 4, I like Indiana under 4 for sure.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think much like Northwestern, they're going to be a mess. The quarterback's coming over from Tennessee. Obviously, you're looking at a third-team QB last year coming over, getting Tavin Jackson, I think it's kid's name. You got a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience. Walt Bell's the offense coordinator. Tom Allen's a defensive guy. So I'm with you. I'm not real fired up on this Illinois team. So I'm with you. Under is the play there, especially getting the number.
What do you think about Bert Bielema at six with Illinois. Do you have an opinion on that team?
Because you know what?
I think they're going to regress
a
little bit.
I just don't. But how are they going to score any less points on offense than they did last year? I mean, and they had better quarterback. I mean, they had a really good quarterback. And they still couldn't score. I mean, and I find it hard to believe losing those two DBs. They're not going to take a little bit of step back on the defensive side of the football. I mean, they could really crowd the line of scrimmage because they could get up in your face. I mean, they could get up in anybody's face on defense. And I think they're going to struggle with that. I like Bielema. You know who's the quarterback there? Luke Altmaier.
Yeah, the kid from Ole Miss.
The kid from Ole Miss who's from Starkville. So interesting to see how that works out. I do think he's you know, got a little bit of talent. So be interesting to see how they use him. But like I said, I find it hard to believe that team is going to be as good as they were last year because that was a pretty good football team. I think they take a step back, but in that West, a lot depends on what you get. You know, I mean, you look at this schedule. I think they lose to Toledo right out of the box, and I think that's what spirals this deal sideways. I think they got a chance. They play Toledo at home, and they're at Kansas. And then they're Penn State at home. Where does this season go? You know, if they're 0-3 and are hosting FAU, I mean, where does that go? They obviously probably win that, but then they got a chance to kind of right the ship at Purdue. They're Nebraska at home. You know, they start playing teams that are in that wheelhouse. You know, they still got Indiana. They got Northwestern to end the year. I see them eligible. Cannot imagine they got above that. I certainly can't see these guys winning 8 games again.
No, fuck no. Another interesting one to me, Purdue. Coaching change, complete coaching change. You go from Jeff Brohm to a defensive coach that's coming in here, wants to be a defensive coordinator. Hudson Card playing quarterback, I don't think is a bad downgrade from Aiden O'Connell last year. The difference is you don't have Brohm calling the plays, and I don't know how wide open the offense is going to be. Where I look to Purdue this year, they're one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country, in my opinion, based on what the roster is this year. I look for Purdue to shade to being an under-football team most of the season. I think this team's going to rely on its defense. I don't look for it to be very explosive. Their over-under win total is sitting around 6-5, and it's mainly down at 5.5 now. And you've got to lay a ton of juice to get down under 5.5. And so I don't know that there's any value left in that. But one thing I will tell you is first week of the season, they play Fresno State in West Lafayette. And I'm going to wait and see where that line settles for the over-under total. And I'm probably going to be on the under in that one because I look for Purdue to play a lot more defense. Obviously, at Fresno State, Tedford's still there, but you lose Hayner, the quarterback at Fresno State. He says everything's going to keep running the way it's supposed to. I don't know how explosive they're going to be at Fresno State, but I look for Purdue to play kind of a buttoned-up style offense and then play hard defense, and I think there are going to be a lot of unders in Purdue games, whereas their defense the last couple of years hasn't been that important as – you know, once Carl Loftus left, then they've been able to score at will on a lot of teams, having some big upsets there. But I look for Purdue to be a team that we can look to the under every single week, at least in the first few weeks until they make some adjustments. And I think you could get it done there. So that's one thing I've been looking at, trying to look further into the season with this Big Ten. So it's, I don't know, it's interesting to me, but that's what I've got with this. And I agree with you with Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's going to be fabulous. Mordecai?
I'm fascinated to see how the Graham Harrell offensive coordinator deal works out for Purdue. Because it was very less than expected in West Virginia last year.
I didn't think it was good at all.
I thought it was awful. I mean, and so I am fascinated to see, you know, Harrell had a lot, you know, he was a popular guy, but they weren't very good at USC when he was out there either. I mean, so I'm interested to see how that all shakes out. So that's an interesting part of this. I agree with you. Purdue would probably be my pick for the seller, if not for the Northwestern debacle. And, you know, here it is. So that's the thing is I think most of these teams that have got got both of them on their schedule, get two wins. So when you start talking about a Nebraska, guys like that, that are in this middling level, you know, they've got a chance. You know, the Illinois guys like that, they start playing both these teams, and all of a sudden, boom, you got a chance to get bowl eligible if you've won your non-conference. You need one more win if you get both these. You win your three non-conference and win, beat these two guys, you need one more win to get bowl eligible. So you mix in, if you got Indiana on the schedule, I think you're in really good shape.
So when you're looking at Northwestern, current book I'm looking at is Northwestern under 3.5 is minus 200, which that's heavy juice, bro. But at Rutgers, game first game, they're already laying 7. Rutgers is laying 7 in that one. They host UTEP, which you know UTEP's going to come with everything they got in that one. They're at Duke, which I think they're going to be out-coached and outplayed. Many Penn State, they've got Howard coming in.
Well, I know we're going to get to ACC. Duke's going to be better. I don't know if their record's going to be better. That football team's going to be better than it was last year. I mean, they had a lot of close wins, but they had some really close losses too. Not a single one of their losses more than a score. So I think they go to Pound Town in that game. I think they get killed at Duke.
Yeah, I think if you're looking, you're going to have to look at Northwestern each week to see what's going on up there. I think it's going to be a mess, dude. It's going to be an absolute mess. I mean, the last time I followed a team that lost their coach like this was the Baylor Bears when they fired Art Briles and they brought in Al Groh to come in and try to – or Jim Grobe, excuse me, to help him kind of help out and get through that. And they came out hot. Now, that Baylor roster was in much better shape than the Northwestern roster was because people couldn't be EJAC off, right in the middle of the summer like they're doing now. And so this Northwestern roster is not good. It's coming off of two terrible seasons where last year they only beat Nebraska. The year before they beat Rutgers, Ohio, and Indiana State. It could be really rough for the Purple Cats.
Those dudes hadn't won on U.S. soil since Rutgers of 21, which was in October. I mean, do you know how long, man? That is almost 2 years without a win. And they may go this whole year. I'm telling you, this team could be an utter disaster. You can't tell me there's not a section of that team that I don't care what was going on. There's clearly guys that didn't like it. So you got a fraction of the team that didn't like the hazing, didn't like what was going on, didn't like the coaching staff. And then I guarantee you, you've got a section of the team that's pissed. Fitz is gone. That team's not going to have a lot of unity. They're pissed at the guys that it got out because it's blowing up their season. I just think this I think Northwestern's a debacle. It's heavy juice, but, man, this recipe for disaster.
Three favorite bets that I've got in this conference. I like Illinois under 6.5 wins, minus 150. I like Indiana under 3.5 wins at plus 140. And I like Iowa over 8 wins at minus 135 are the three lines that are probably my favorite so far.
Yeah, I told you I think Iowa is my favorite. I need to get that place before that number goes up. And then I told you I think I'm going with my 9.5. I think the game at West Virginia, I think they win that ball game at home against West Virginia. Delaware, they're at Illinois. Iowa at home at Northwestern. It's this road schedule. I mean, they're all manageable. They could win, I think, all these games except Ohio State. And look, depending on how the season's going and how good or bad this team is, Marvin Harrison get hurt again for because look, they win the Natty last year if Harrison didn't get hurt against Georgia. They win that ball game. I think we both agree on that. Hell, I think anybody with eyes has got to agree on that. Until he got hurt. So if he's not playing, can Penn State win that game? You betcha. I mean, there's just I just like this schedule. I like who they get at home. Like that Iowa game, if they were on the road, I would think they lose that ball game. But I think playing Iowa at home, that's a big win. So anyway, I like Penn State's schedule. I think it's worth the 9.5 for me.
Scotty, let's move over to the Big 12. The last year of the Big 12 with the two big names in it, Texas and Oklahoma. Obviously, we'll be moving on to the SEC next year. Interesting conference. I think there is a tremendous amount of toss-ups in this conference. Texas Tech is catching the most hype. of any team. If you follow him out of media, Big 12 Media Days, they got a ton of hype, a lot of chest beating going on. Over under win total for Texas Tech. I had looked and it was 7.5, 8. Let me get to it right now. Yeah, still 7.5 for Texas Tech. Over 7.5, Texas Tech is plus 110. The reason I bring that up is it's real interesting because Texas Tech's catching a lot of hype. A lot of people think they're dark horse chance to make a run. Now, keep in mind, this same conference last year had TCU in it, and their over-under win total was 6.5, and it was one of you and I's biggest bets of the season. We thought TCU would be better with Sonny Dykes coming in, with Gillespie coming in to run the defense. We took them. They ended up in the national championship. Texas Tech, their roster is much better than it has been. If you go look at their roster, the amount of 300-pounders on their roster is more than they've ever had. They're right up there with some of the top 15 teams in the country as far as having a bigger roster for that standpoint. So I do think he's doing a good job, but 7.5 wins may be a reach. But where my first bet that I've made in the Big 12 is I took Texas plus 105 to win the conference. I think when you look at Texas's schedule, I think it's extremely manageable for what they've got. I like the fact that what you're seeing out of Texas. I'm a Sark fan. Are you a Sark fan?
You know, I do like Sark. And I think they're doing a good job. Texas has got to quit losing ball games at the end of the year. But I'll tell you what Texas can't do. They can't fire their coach this year.
I think if they go 8-4,
they gotta let Sark keep growing this program.
If they go 8-4, I think they fire Sark.
I think they will too, because they're Texas and they can't help but do it. But I think it's stupid if they do it. I really do think that's a poor decision if the Longhorns do that. They have got to let a coach stick with it. And I do like Sark. I was, as odd as this is, I'm glad State did not hire him the year before he went to Texas, just because I didn't think that was a good fit. Man, if the SC job will drive you to drink, I can't imagine what the Mississippi State job would do. And look, it's a better job for him where he is. I just think I think Texas doesn't understand that some of their problems aren't just on the football field. There's a culture problem there, and I don't mean in the program. I mean at that campus. And it's pretty clear because they keep churning through coaches that have got great resumes and have done good jobs other places, and they can get it done. And I know there's the Sark can't win but 8 games. He's 7-5, 8-4 Sark or whatever it is, going all the way back to Washington. But I also think some of this Texas has got to – they got to bear through. I mean, it is – look, that cussing that Davis gave on that bus from the defensive lineman, Sark's first year, needed to happen. They are soft, and they had some soft guys. And last year they showed signs of coming through that. Then they got the injury bug late in the year, and they couldn't finish, and they lost some games they shouldn't have. So I do like Sark, but I do think they're going to win this league, because I don't know how in the world – if Ewer stays healthy – man, that kid's put in the work. That guy's transformed his body. He looks like he's committed. The kid's talented. You know, I think he's got a lot to prove. That roster's really talented. So I think it's going to be interesting. Man, you look at that offensive roster. Man, they got talent everywhere.
Oh, it's
crazy.
I mean,
it is sticko. I mean, it's as good as anybody. You know, now they got some places on defense I think have got question marks. They say one of the strengths of the team is the defensive lineman. If you look at some of those guys that are going to be starting, some of the older guys, that's the lowest rated guys in signing classes coming out of anywhere on this team. And you compare it to the upper end Power 5 schools, they're not even close where some of those guys were rated. So I know they think it's going to be good. I'll be interested to see how that holds up, because at the end of the day, offensive line and the defensive line determines, are you a really, really good football team throughout the year?
So two bets I have on Texas currently is I took Texas -4 against Oklahoma in game of the year lines. I took Texas +105 to win the conference. I mean, this is a Texas team last year that was banged up with Ewers had some issues. They had some injuries. They lost the kid that transferred in from Wyoming's big receiver. I think they're going to be much better. Every loss Texas had last year, including the bowl game against Washington, were all one-score games. They lost 5 one-score games last season. And so I think this team right now could definitely put themselves in the Big 12 championship. I like it to take it in the Big 12 championship. It plus, you can still get it at either minus 105 or plus 105, whereas the alternative is trying to bet Texas is over-under win totals 9.5, and you're laying between minus 130 and minus 145. I think the value there is to bet Texas to win the conference, and that's where I'm going to go with it. Next one I want to go to, Scotty, let's stay in the Red River Shootout. I'm going Oklahoma. I took Oklahoma over 9.5 wins, which almost sounds counterintuitive based on how it's going. I got Oklahoma at minus 110 at over 9.5 wins. This is a team that's going to have a major bounce back. This team lost to Texas Tech, West Virginia, Baylor, Texas, TCU, and Kansas State last year. Dylan Gabriel was hurt for a good part of the season, but more importantly, the defense was fucking terrible under Brent Venables. Terrible. And I think their roster's pretty good. Now, granted, you're going to have a lot of no-names. I think you're going to have – I mean, most people can't name more than two receivers on this team. You got Farouk and the Stoops kid. And the Stoops kid, frankly, wouldn't be starting anywhere if he wasn't at Oklahoma. But I think this roster's better. I like what they've done in the trench. I think their offensive line's improved with the transfers that have come in there. The defensive line, I think, has improved. I also think Venables was interesting at Big 12 Media Days. He was talking a little smack. Giving Deion some heck, giving some other – and Venables does not strike me as a guy that likes to run his mouth. And I think he may think he's onto something here at the University of Oklahoma. I think on their way out the door, if I'm going to bet Oklahoma over 9.5, I would bet it up to 120. I think this is a team that's got a great shot to have a good season because their schedule is marshmallow soft. When you look at it, they've got Arkansas State, SMU at home. SMU might be interesting, but I doubt it. At Tulsa, at Cincy, Iowa State, who's going to be really bad. Texas at a neutral. UCF comes to Norman. At Kansas, at Oklahoma State, West Virginia, BYU, and TCU. It's hard for me to find three losses in that schedule right there, especially if you can get Dylan Gabriel to stay healthy. But last year when he was hurt, they didn't really have a good alternative to backup. This year they've got Jackson Arnold in there. If Jackson Arnold gets on the field and he gets this thing rolling, I don't know that we'll see Dylan Gabriel again because that kid I think is going to be legit.
Yeah.
I like Oklahoma over 9.5.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I think Gabriel's legit. I mean, look, last year they put up in the 11 games he started, they put up over 500 yards offense and scored 37 points. The two games he didn't, 275. He's an athlete. He can run. He gets it in space. That's a big difference. I think Gabriel is a good player. I'm with you. What I like the most about this team is the schedule. I do think it sets up well for them. They just got to show me. They were so bad on defense last year. But I don't know if there's enough teams on this schedule that can capitalize on it. I mean, I really don't. And I think, dude, which they did no favors to the school stepping up, which we'll get into it in a minute. But I mean, you look at last year and how many teams on this schedule weren't Power Five. And I'm going to talk about this again with Oklahoma State because it's the same thing. But on this schedule, teams that were non-Power Five teams last year, Arkansas State, SMU, Tulsa, Cincinnati, UCF, BYU. And how many is that? Six?
Yeah,
that's how you put up a good record right there. You start playing teams that just simply don't – and this is not a shot at those programs. They don't have the talent Power Five guys do. You can catch – I say this all the time about Mississippi State. You go look at Mississippi State, they finished in the top 20 in recruiting every year. Doesn't make a damn that they would have been one of the five best teams in the Big Ten. They don't play in the Big Ten. They finish 10th in the SEC every year. That's who they play every week. Same thing is now true for all these teams coming in. they don't recruit on the same level that these kids do. And look, that goes for Power Five. That goes for transfers, too. These big schools get who they want in the transfer portal, too. I mean, it's the same thing. There's re-recruiting a kid. I mean, it's the same thing. So when I'm talking about recruiting, I'm talking about portal as well. It's a different world for these guys and a different roster. They're no longer playing AAC schedules. They're no longer playing independent schedules. It's a different gig when they start rolling in and playing Texas and Oklahoma back-to-back. Oh, and then they got to go to Texas Tech. You know, that deal starts adding up on you. They got to play Baylor. These teams are all teams that are better and more talented than they are. I like Oklahoma's schedule here. I don't know if they get it all the way to 9. All the way to 10, but they certainly could. I think everybody has got Texas and Oklahoma marked as the top two teams in this league. And let me tell you, that's the worst possible thing that can happen to the Big 12. They do not need these two teams to play in the championship game and then sail off to the SEC.
Well, I think they may see it. We'll see. Looking at some other teams in the Big 12, Kansas State, a team that won the Big 12 last year, this is an interesting squad to me. They over-under win total.
I love Chris Klein.
I like Will Howard, the quarterback, to be honest with you. They started with Adrian Martinez last season, ended up benching him as he got nicked up throughout the season, brought in Will Howard. He's had great numbers. This kid has played in the last 3 years that he's been there. Obviously took Kansas State to the Big 12 championship game where they won that before they rolled into the bowl game and played a super pissed off Alabama and just got absolutely crushed in that one. But this Kansas State team's interesting. Over-under win totals at 8 and at even money. I don't think this is a bad buy either. Southeast Missouri, Troy at Mizzou.
This is who I think's getting in the Big 12 championship over Oklahoma.
Ooh, interesting. I will
tell you. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I think their schedule sets up kind of interestingly. Southeast Missouri, Troy, I don't think they'll pose much of a problem there. Then they have at Mizzou, which could be an interesting game because I think Mizzou's probably better than a lot of people think. They got UCF at home. They got a bye at Oak State, at Tech, TCU, Houston, Texas, Baylor, Kansas, and Iowa State. It's hard to bet against Kansas State. I mean, we talked about this. Other than when Ron Prince was at Kansas State has been one of the biggest bets that we've played since we started this podcast 13 years ago. They're consistent. This team works hard. I think Klieman has a great understanding of what he has in the offense. The biggest thing to me is they lose Deuce Vaughn. And they did bring in a transfer portal guy to help them with this one, but I don't know that you can replace Deuce Vaughn right off the bat. I like Will Howard a ton, but I think 8 wins at even money I think is a pretty good bet because then you get a chance to hedge out towards the end if you think you're in a bad spot. But I think Kansas State at 8 wins is a good spot.
Yeah, their schedule, look, they miss out on some of the weird teams in the league. So I think that's where their difficulty is. But this was by far the most physical team in the Big 12 last year. It was not close. They got their top 8 offensive linemen back.
Yep.
What do you think? They forgot how to be physical? They're going to come out and punch people in the mouth again. And I don't think their defense will be quite as good. Klieman gets the most out of those guys. He's a gritty, hard-nosed guy. I really like this offense. Think they're going to be really, really physical. How do you get a physical defense? Is you got a physical offensive line and you can pound on each other when you put the pads on. And I think they're going to be really good. I think they'll be physical. I think they're going to surprise some people again. I agree with you. If you can get it 8, even money, that's a good bet.
Scott, let's talk about the other team from Kansas, Lance Leopold and the Kansas Jayhawks. This is a fun team. Over-under on this team is somewhere between 5.5 and 6. You can find a 5.5, and you can lay some juice on this at -165. Kansas is very interesting to me. They had some games last year. They played basically without a quarterback and had to roll through and do what they could. But Leopold's done a great job. They return more starters than any team in Division I football this year, Kansas does. Now, granted, their defense last year was hella atrocious, and they gave up points in bunches. I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you they gave up over 35 points a game. And they're going to have to put those numbers up. I'm not leaning on Kansas to get over 6. I'm going to be cheering for them. But what I like about this Kansas team, I think there's going to be a lot of over-under totals in this one, and I'm going to be betting on the over in some Kansas games in this one.
Agreed. I think that's where the value on this team is in the over-under. I mean, look, man, it's still – I mean, they're still Kansas. I mean, they still got a – I mean, look, I said I think they got a chance when we were talking about Illinois to win this game. I still think they do. Does anybody think that's a lie game? Going to be surprised if Illinois goes on the road and wins this ball game? Heck no. So, I mean, it's a – you know, that's a tough one. They go to Nevada. You know, then they start sinking into the schedule. And I just think some of the games that they would have a chance to win, they're playing on the road. The bottom line is this job is one of the most difficult jobs in the country. And any time that you can get near six wins, you've done a great job. Let's take them to score some points. Let's stay away from this over-under total.
You got any other over-under win totals you like in this conference? I do not like Baylor. I think TCU's got some regression. Their over-under win total's at 7.5. I'm kind of in a wait-and-see point because they've got a lot of new moving parts on that team. And so I haven't quite bought into that one yet.
Dude, same thing on my six that I said before. They get a Oklahoma State. I like their schedule. Playing the six non-power five teams again gives you a chance to get there. I mean, look, this is it. Central Arkansas, South Alabama, Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and BYU. Hell, you're at the over-under win total if you beat a bunch of guys who are non-power five, essentially. So I think there's some value in this line. Everybody's asleep on Gundy. He figures out a way to do it. I'm interested to see how Bowman plays in the offense. Stuns Spencer Sanders. I think he just felt like, you know, this wasn't a good fit for producing NFL quarterbacks. So I'm interested to see what Bowman does coming over from Michigan to see how he excels. But at the end of the day, I just like this schedule. I think there's value in it to go over six wins.
Could get there. Texas Tech, you got an opinion on them at 7.5?
I think they're going to be better, but I agree with you. I'm not a – schedule's tough, so it'll be interesting to see how they shake out. They're fun, though, man. Everybody you talk to, and I know, you know, a few high school coaches in Texas, man, they all love McGuire. I mean, love him. And just think he's got the deal churning. I think he's going to keep getting guys that are off the grid. And that really is how the program is good. You got to have some help finding those guys that are off the grid. And when high school coaches love you because you're an old high school coach, look, Art Briles was doing it. He's going and getting dudes nobody's heard of. And boom, it was because all these other Texas coaches were calling, hey, man, you need to sign this guy. He's fast. He can run. They'd get a guy on campus. They're like, how did anybody miss that guy? He's fast as lightning. You know, it's because, you know, he's from some middle of nowhere school in Texas, and a high school coach called him. And allegedly, McGuire is getting a lot of that. But it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to progress. So I think it's a great story watching a guy like that. So, you know, I hope he gets successful. I don't get first right on money. Man, Texas is a tough job. It's a tough job. And, you know, it's hard to look, get a great home advantage because it will get rowdy and raucous out there. But it's still a really tough job. Hard to get top-notch guys that aren't from West Texas in there because it's a long way from home.
Only bet I have currently on Texas Tech is I have Texas Tech -13.5 at Wyoming week one. I don't have a lot of faith in Wyoming this season. They weren't great last year. And I think Texas Tech goes up there and takes care of business. They've got Oregon on deck the week after. If Tech somehow can get through the first 3 weeks of their season 3-0, it's going to be real interesting because after that, I think their schedule gets very manageable at West Virginia, who I think is going to be terrible. I think
not very good. I agree with you.
I think Neil Brown's done. Dana Hologram at Houston has to come up there. And these teams have played each other quite a bit recently. Houston, I've got them a little bit upgraded from last year. But I'm still not sure they're going to be very good. Baylor, to me, is a 6-6 team at best. A lot of people think Baylor can go over the number. I'm not seeing it. I don't like Blake Shapen at all. They get Kansas State at BYU, TCU, Kansas, UCF, and Texas. So, Tech's schedule.
I think you know all you need to know about Texas Tech week two, Mark.
Well, I will be there.
They get Oregon at home in a rowdy environment. I mean, that man, Tech is going to be zeused up for that game. And, you know, let's face it, Bo Nix ain't been real damn good on the road in rough environments throughout his career. So let's see what he gets into down there as a senior and see what he does. They win that ball game, and whew, man, the hype wagon will really get rolled. I mean, really get rolled.
It could be true. Yeah, but I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see what Bo Nix does on the road because he was terrible at USC. At Auburn on the road. And, then, of course, last year they got ran by Georgia at that neutral. Got beat by Washington by 3. Oregon State beat him by 4. I mean, Oregon had a great season. Oregon's got one of the top 15 rosters in the country, in my personal opinion. But getting Bo Nix on the road, this will probably be the roughest road game he will have had to have played since he was in the SEC. It's a night game in Lubbock, Saturday night, second week of the season. It's sold out. It's going to be rocking in there. It'll be really interesting to see if we get good Bo Nix that we saw most of last year at Oregon, or we get bad Bo Nix on the road at Auburn. Because when he was at Auburn his last year, you and I was almost a blind bet. If Bo Nix was on the road, we were going the other way.
Yep, it really was. So I think that's going to be a fascinating game for the Red Raiders. They get grilled at home, and I think our concerns are warranted. I think that is, I think it makes a close game. They win or lose either way. Then, hey, man, the Tech could be as good as people think they are. There are a lot of teams in this league that are in the middle. It feels like a really middle heavy, or like a 50-year-old dude. They got a lot of weight around the belt line.
Don't be talking
about
that.
It seems
like
there's just a couple teams up top that are really good. There's a couple of teams that are not very good at the bottom. And then there's a lot in the middle that can go either way. I mean, candidly, Mark, are you going to be surprised if UCF has got a way to win 7-8 games in this league? I'm not. I'm also not going to be stunned if they go 5-7.
I would go 5-7 more than I could see them go 7-5. Another one I like to go under is BYU. I don't like BYU at all.
Yeah.
I think BYU comes out hot and they win 2-0. They go Sam Houston State, South Utah. Then they've got at Arky, at Kansas, Cincy, at TCU, Texas Tech, at Texas, at West Virginia. Do you know how long of a trip it's going to be from Provo, Utah to Morgantown, West Virginia? I mean, dude, you are literally flying across the country in this game. So I don't like BYU at all this season. Under 5.5 would not surprise me at all. I do not think this team goes bowling. If you look at their roster, their composite roster is ranked 69th in the country. They're ranked at one of the lowest recruiting schools in the country. Obviously, they've got a lot of kids that go on missions. But the other thing that makes me not like them more is Keaton Slovis is the quarterback there. And that guy couldn't make it at USC, didn't do well at Pitt, and somehow he's at BYU in his sixth year. The only person that's more mind-boggling to him than him is JT Daniels, who's the starting quarterback for Rice this season. I mean, literally the USC locker room is all over the country at this point.
Yeah, all over the country. Mark, one thing I want to point out, and I know I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but I can't say this enough for everybody's listening and looking at schedules and betting. These teams are going to struggle with the upgrade in talent. It is different when you're rolling off USF and then you play Baylor and you win in double overtime and then you play another Power 5 team right behind it last year and get boat raced 41-20 by Oregon. They do the exact same thing, play nothing, bam, Arkansas pounds them. And that ball game was not a 52-35 game. Arkansas beat the dog out of them. They scored some points late to make that ball game look better than it was. They got hammered in that ball game. They're doing that every week now. And there's no room to breathe. And that's where death your roster comes in, is it's not just the 22 you roll out there. It is the 44 or even the 50 you got to play with every week. And they just, these teams simply do not have the depth yet to compete. And I can't say it enough. Keep that in mind when you're betting on these guys this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look at UCF. They had the best recruiting class they have had ever this season. That recruiting class ranked 9th in the Big 12 of what they would have had. 9th. And
it's exactly right. It's like I say about Mississippi State all the time. It doesn't matter if you recruited better, but you play. You know? If you finish last in the SEC West every year, guess where you're going to finish? Near the bottom. That's the deal. And it's the same thing with those guys this year. The other thing that I think you got to look at with a lot of these teams is we talk about this a lot, but man, these teams making the jump, when they've got to play a lot of ball games in a row, I think it's really going to hurt them with the upgrade and talent. And I think, I mean, you look, most of these teams that are making the jump, Houston, Cincinnati are both October 7th is their off day. Same thing for BYU. I mean, man, you're going to have a lot of ball games in October and November with no off week. These guys start playing this kind of talent 6 and 7 weeks, and they're going to be getting gas tanned. And I just think there's going to be a chance come November to make some money.
No, I would agree with you. Scotty, that's the Big 10. That's the Big 12. We got some plays. We'll put them out there. We'll put those all in the play notes. Give us a review. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a thumbs down. Tell us what's going on. We're trying to get you through these best we can. Put these podcasts together in less than an hour so you can enjoy these. If you got comments on your team, hit us up on Twitter. Leave them in the notes. We'd love to hear from you. I think both these conferences are going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun in different ways. Next week, Scotty, we'll knock down the ACC and we'll knock down the Pac-12, and then we'll dive into the Group of Five. We are only a few weeks away from week zero and getting college football back.
Mark, you got a losers. I think that league may be a lot of fun this year. I think there's some really good teams at the top of that league. I think they'll each other up. Yes, they're in for a week, but I think that league.
Pac-12 is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it as much as you are. It's going to be a good time. That being said, folks, when we're signing off, we'll talk to you next week. Give us some ratings. We look forward to hearing from you. Talk to you soon.